We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, as we know, Providence faces this kind of vicious cycle in which the city desperately needs more revenue, but high commercial taxes tend to make it more difficult to grow businesses. You've said as council president, you want to send a message that Providence is open for business. What are the keys to getting that done?
Several things. I think one is consistency in message, consistency in policy, predictability in our processes, everything from how to pull a permit to what type of tax incentives the city will provide. Secondly, there needs to be some sense that we are all in this together. I think the city's woes will not change until there is an understanding by the state, the large tax exempts in the city, that it's important for the entire state, the growth of the meds and eds. They create lots of jobs. They're big employers. But it cannot continue to be totally underwritten by the taxes in the city of Providence.
Let's go to Scott.
Well, the meds and eds are great, and all the colleges are just fabulous. But one of the problems is nearly 40% of the land in Providence is these wonderful nonprofits. We all love the churches, the cathedrals, but they're not getting any property taxes there. Do you think the council's going to be able to squeeze some more revenue out of the nonprofits?
I'm not sure that we will be able to, but I think that we need to interject the state into this equation. The jobs that are created and the revenues that are generated through taxes from those jobs all go up to the state. So as these tax exempts continue to prosper, and we're happy that they do well and compete in those fields in which they choose to compete, you know, many of us shudder every time Brown or Rhode Island Hospital, Care New England, announces an expansion and that the acquisition of new real estate. And at some point, it reaches a tipping point where the city can no longer provide the critical services and basic services that residents demand.
Council President, you revealed late last year that you would begin to address the situation in which you owe more than $50,000 to the State Board of Elections mm-hmm. for delinquent campaign finance reports. Why did you let that situation linger for so long?
For a couple of reasons. One, I wasn't really sure that I was going to return. I didn't raise a lot of money. I was not raising a lot of money. There were some of the folks who have assisted me in these things had, particularly my treasurer, had some very personal challenges and were unable to get things done. I get it. I understand. It is my obligation under the law. And all I can tell you, I let it go too far, and I am quickly doing everything that I can to address it. We've gotten up to 2014. The final reports of this year will be given to the Board of Elections early next week. And we
the
hope
final reports for 2014, you
for
mean?
2014, whatever is outstanding, we'll give to them for by next week, and at which point in my conversations with the folks at the Board of Elections, I would be able to appear before the board and attempt to appeal the fines.
I'm wondering, looking at this beautiful, iconic Art Deco building we have downtown, the Superman building, is that really something the city is going to be able to address, given your perilous finances now, or are you going to need state help if you're going to give incentives for that building?
Look, I think it's everyone understands that as goes Providence, so will go the state. I think an iconic structure like that, such a large footprint, rehabbing that, bringing that back to vibrancy will not only benefit the city of Providence, will benefit the state. So I think we all have a stake in the future of that property, and we need to find a smart solution that involves both the city and the state.
You're an enthusiastic supporter of the idea of creating a streetcar system to link downtown with the south side. The federal government is willing to pay for only a small portion of mm-hmm. getting that done. Why is that in the interest of taxpayers?
We were saddened that we did not get more support from the feds. We're going to go back and try and address that. If we look at where the jobs are growing, if we look at where the opportunities are in our city, it is in the meds and eds. They're concentrated in the jewelry district, in downtown Providence. How do you move people to where the jobs are? This is an opportunity for some internal transport that addresses getting people out of neighborhoods and into the jobs in a way that's efficient and predictable. Secondly, as the I-195 land gets developed and the property around the hospital campus gets developed, it creates more of an intense need for parking. And I can tell you, we have no shortage of surface parking in the city. It's not in the interest of the city to continue to develop more surface parking. If we can find ways to move people around in our city from outside the city that does not require additional parking, then I think we should look at it.
We're talking here with City Council President Luisa Ponte of Providence, and now back to Scott.
Given the persistence of low test scores in our high schools, only 14%, I believe, of the juniors are competent in math at their grade level, is there a need for more charter schools?
I think there's a need for more charter schools, but I also think there's a need to understand what are the conditions that create that. One of the things that surprised me, I saw a report a couple of years ago about churning in schools, and that's this theory of how often a student moves during the time of their school year. And it was alarming to me that some of our kids and their families are moving two or three times during their school year. How are you able to learn if your home life and your housing situation is so unstable? So I think that there's some things that we have not yet measured that we may be able to improve. Clearly, we need to bring those test scores up, but I think we need to look at the entire student and what supports that student and try to wherever and whenever possible, continue to apply city resources to support those families.
You think the mayor's idea for schools as community centers is a good one?
Absolutely.
You were officially neutral during the general phase of the Providence mayoral election. Some people took that to mean that you were actually for Buddy Cianci. What do you say?
Nothing could be further from the truth. Folks in the coalition that I was developing, half of them were several of them were supporting Buddy Cianci, and several of them were supporting Jorge Elorza. It didn't make any sense for me to take a position given the tenuousness of that coalition.
What are the keys for you to have an effective working relationship with Jorge Elorza as the mayor of Providence?
We've started on a great first step. We're working, we're agreeing to meet very regularly. I think the key for both of us is to not surprise each other. I think Mayor Tavares and former Council President Solomon had an agreement that they would bring bad news quickly and make sure that no one was surprised by reading things in the media or hearing it on Rhode Island NPR.
Looking at consolidation of city services, I'm wondering, there are four or five firehouses on the east side. Is that too many? Why do we have so many?
I think there is an important task ahead of us, and that is to look at what the type of services are that we need to be providing. There are a few reports that look at fire services and what it is that we provide these days. And clearly there is a trend towards rescue services and emergency services, fewer demands for fire. So I think we need to adjust to that and have a frank and honest discussion with the labor organizations that represent the firefighters about what the city's needs are and how we can work together to address them efficiently and economically.
You won the council presidency on a 9-6 vote, and you say the six councilors who voted against you are not going to be sent into political Siberia. Mm-hmm. That's a little different from the approach taken by your predecessor, Michael Solomon, who kind of made some changes in the committee structure to reward his supporters and punish his opponents. Why are you taking a different approach?
My approach is the election's over. We need to govern. We need to move forward. There is a lot of talent. Folks who didn't support me, and we want it would be foolish not to take advantage of the experience, the work ethic, and the talent that exists amongst all those council folks. So I've personally reached out to almost all of them, reiterated to them that there will be committee assignments for all of them. We need them to help us all push in the right direction if the city's going to move forward.
What do you see as the future of Roger Williams Park, which is a big piece of the South Side? It certainly needs some infrastructure and some upgrading. The ponds are polluted. It's a wonderful, wonderful city, beautiful park, a historic park. What do we do there?
It always boggles me. A park of that size and beauty in any other city would be some of the most desirable in any. It's never really been the attraction that I thought it could be. The other part is that for many things, that is a state asset. You know, when we see some of the attractions that happen there, I know many folks from outside of the city attend the jack-o'-lantern exhibits down there. They come to the zoo. It's one of the most visited attractions in our state. So besides it sort of being viewed as an important city asset, it really is a state asset. And hopefully the state will understand that and help us maintain such an important landmark and tourist attraction.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the new president of the Providence City Council, Luis Aponte.
Thank you for having me. I hope-